Hi there, listeners. It's Farnoosh, and I just want to say I'm really honored that you've chosen to subscribe to So Money. I know there are a lot of podcasts out there. The fact that you're here is not lost on me. Now, if you're enjoying these episodes and you're benefiting from the advice and you want more, I've actually created something really special for us. It's called the So Money Members Club. It's an online platform where you can connect more closely with me and engage with fellow So Money fans who want to become more empowered in their financial lives. The website is SoMoneyMembers.com. And when you go there, you'll learn all the benefits, including exclusive monthly finance workshops, private group calls with me. You get your questions answered in our member community. I'm often in there weighing in, and you get instant access to all of our workshop recordings. We have a robust library that's growing. So far, we've had workshops on investing in real estate, kids and money, and how to earn more in 2024. And most of all, it's fun, positive, encouraging, all the things personal finance should be. Go to SoMoneyMembers.com, and I hope you'll join us. I'm limiting enrollment, and doors will close soon. Check out SoMoneyMembers.com. Did you know that I'm a podcast host and also a mind reader? Because I know that you want to grow your portfolio, to deal with the rising costs of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage. You want to attack pretty much anything standing in the way of you and your financial freedom, right? Well, here's one solution: more knowledge. This podcast helps, I hope. And you can use Yahoo Finance, where you can get access to the news, data, and tools that you need to help reach your definition of financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. They're the number one finance destination, and I know because I worked there for many years, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, customizable charts, so much more. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 968, Ask Farnoosh with special co-host Alexandra Stockwell.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
Welcome to So Money, everybody. It is almost Thanksgiving. Sort of, you know, it's about a week till Thanksgiving, and I'm excited. We're about to hop on a flight tomorrow to the West Coast to see my family. As a lot of you know, my family lives out by the Bay Area. It's been a while since I've flown with both of my kids cross country, 5 and 2. So say a little prayer for me and my husband. We hope all goes smoothly. Got all of our little tricks, including snacks and devices. You know what I'm talking about. Yes, screen time. But you know what? It's how you gotta roll with it when you're 30,000 feet above the air and you don't really have a lot of other options. I hope everybody is gearing up for a nice festive Thanksgiving, however you celebrate it. This week, we had some pretty incredible interviews, including a conversation with Karen Kahn on Wednesday. Karen is the founder of iFundWomen. If you're an entrepreneur out there, a female founder, and you are looking for early stage seed money, check out iFundWomen. It's this really innovative way that she's going about it. It's social crowdfunding for female founders. And Karen Karen Kahn is just an icon. I mean, she's a woman who started out at Google in the early days, did very well there financially, and moved her way up through the tech world. And now she's an entrepreneur and talks a lot about, you know, how she built her wealth. It's time to head over to the iTunes section now to select this week's review. We've surpassed 1,000 reviews. Thank you, everybody, for contributing. And I'm just going to keep on encouraging you to do so and provide one free 15-minute money session every week with someone who has left a review. And this time, we're going to say thank you to Sarah Elizabeth Graves, who left a review on November 7th, calling the show engaging and informative. So, Sarah, get in touch. Thank you so much for your pretty lengthy review. She says that she is actually a personal finance writer, and this is one of her favorite podcasts. So that really means a lot to me, because you are a pro. And if you're liking this show, that means I hopefully am doing something right. So I appreciate it, Sarah. Get in touch. You can email me, farnoosh@farnoosh.tv. You can also reach me on Instagram, direct message me there. Let me know. Looking forward to connecting with you, my fellow personal finance writer friend, and talking money on a personal jam session. All right, it's Ask Farnoosh time, and I'm so excited to introduce our co-host today. It's not just solo today. I have a very exceptional co-host. Her name is Alexandra Stockwell. She is a relationship and intimacy expert known as the Relationship Catalyst. And she's got an upcoming book called Uncompromising Intimacy. And she's also a friend. She has joined me and Susie Moore at our workshop called Pitch Please. Sometimes you've heard me talk about this media workshop that I host. And I was so delighted to hear that she's a listener of So Money and wanted to co-host. So Alexandra, welcome to So Money. How are you?
I'm well, and I'm really excited to be here. Thanks for having me, Farnoosh.
Oh, this is going to be fun. It's always nice to have somebody with a different background on the show. You coming from the world of, you are an MD physician turned relationship and intimacy expert. You're known as the relationship catalyst. So how are you catalyzing relationships? Tell me everything.
Everything.
Oh, well, okay. You know, in a minute, like 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, I'm really devoted to working with couples who love one another. And from the outside, everything looks good. But on the inside, they're not as satisfied as they want to be. And so I teach couples how to have more emotional intimacy and sensual passion, largely because I think that is a way to change the world. If everybody were really satisfied and fulfilled in their most intimate relationships, I think the ripple effect would be tremendous. So that's my contribution to making the world a better place.
And your forthcoming book is called Uncompromising Intimacy. Tell us about that. When can we look forward to it?
Yeah. So Uncompromising Intimacy, I think I'll just talk about the title and that will tell you a lot. The most frequent advice given when it comes to relationships is you need to learn to compromise, or if you want a good marriage, compromise is the key to a good marriage, something like that. And I believe the exact opposite. I think a really fulfilling marriage or partnership is contingent on bringing all of who you are to the relationship, which means you need to accept who you are and also really accept who your partner is and vice versa. And that when you bring all of who you are to the relationship, then no matter what arises, you can learn it, you can use it to create more connection. And I think compromise leads to the very, very common circumstance of toleration relationships, where people basically are living conflict-free and passion-free.
Toleration. Is it toleration-free?
Well, conflict-free and passion-free, which I describe as the toleration relationship. In other words, it's a relationship with a foundation of tolerating rather than a willingness to really do the work to be who you really are in that relationship, because that's what makes it juicy.
Yes. And I learned something very profound about you and your marriage, and we'll get to the questions in a minute, but I thought this was such a fascinating story. I mean, speaking about
being on the same page with your partner. You know, as you know, money can be a big source of contention in relationships. And I learned that in your marriage, you and your husband found yourselves not too long ago, about 10 years ago, with about $290,000 in personal debt. This was a result of a perfect storm, you called it, a failed business, the drop in the housing market, being conned by a spiritual teacher who is now in prison. How did the two of you work together on this piece in the relationship? Because this is, for some couples, could spell a lot more disaster, which is divorce, right? Because money creates a rift in relationships and especially debt. So how did you, the two of you, communicate over this and work through it?
Well, I think what we did first, which is pretty common, is pretend it wasn't happening. And happily, in our situation, that didn't last for very long. And once we were clear that this was happening, it became our mutual priority to address it. And at the time, we were living just north of Boston. And we moved with our family. Three of our four children were born by that time. And so the five of us moved to rural Kansas, where my husband is also a physician. And in Massachusetts, there's high supply of family doctors compared to the demand. And in the rural parts in the middle of the country, there's a huge need and a small supply. So he went from being at the low end of the bell curve for salaries for family doctors. When we moved to rural Kansas, he shifted to being at the upper end of the bell curve for compensation for family doctors. And so we decided to leave our families, the school my children attended, really just our family, friends, everything, in order to handle this, because it was only going to get worse unless we made a very significant change. So we moved to rural Kansas, and I thought it would take us about 5 years to pay it back. We were not in the habit of being in debt. We'd only had mortgage and educational loans, which had already been paid off by the time all of this happened. It took about 18 months within this perfect storm to create the almost $300,000 of personal debt. And so I thought it would take 5 years of carefully managing things. And we actually paid it off in 2 years because we lived in rural Kansas where there wasn't really anything to spend money on. And we just lived as though we had a salary that was all about a fifth of what it actually was, so that we could use all of the other funds to pay it back. And then we left rural Kansas 2 years later.
They say you have to get uncomfortable sometimes to get out of a financial rut quickly. You can't just keep your status quo. And that's a great story. I mean,
and it made us stronger.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as it was clear that each of us was dedicated to handling this, it was like 1 + 1 was a lot more than 2 in terms of the energy and the creativity. And it's really great for a relationship to problem solve from the position of being on the same team, which is what we experienced.
Incredible. Well, we actually have a first question here from a woman who writes in about not a problem in her relationship, but it relates back to, you know, she and her husband's financial goals. And so Shelby writes that she and her husband have fallen into the trap of keeping up with the Joneses. I think we can all relate to some extent with that. She says, our best friends that we do everything with have rapidly made more and more money by being successful business owners over the last 5 years, and we have not grown our money as fast. My number one priority is to pay off our debt. In order for us to do that, we have to start saying no to certain things we do with our friends. And so her question is, how do we communicate to them that we can't afford to do all of these things right now without telling them that we are broke? And, you know, going back to your circumstance, Alexandra, I would think that there were some things that you had to say no to, and that socially it might have been a little awkward as you and your family were in during those 18 months moving to Kansas, all the things changing your life. That must have been, I don't know, how would you describe it? A little different than what your friends were doing?
For sure. And we It was actually very mysterious. People couldn't comprehend why we were moving to Kansas. And we did not say it was because we were in dire circumstances financially. We didn't say that. We said, it's time for a change. We used a lot of euphemisms, but I don't think that that would work so well for Shelby because
she's not leaving.
She's not leaving. There's going to be ongoing contact.
Right. And so if she goes, someone in your practice who's like, I got to talk to my husband, I need to first get on the same page, right, about this and make sure that we're getting our narrative right. And if these are friends that they like and they want to keep and that they trust, I think that they need to just maybe be a little honest. I think there's room for honesty here.
Yeah. I think the important thing is that Shelby and her husband are on the same page. And that's probably going to mean getting vulnerable with one another because being broke probably means something different to her than to him. And they need to just really get clear and get on the same team. But then when it comes to talking with the friends, I think there's an option which includes being honest and an option which includes not being honest, quite frankly. So being honest would mean just saying that we're not as far along as we wanted to be, and then propose low-cost fun things to do together. So maybe have them over for dinner instead of going out to a nice restaurant. Or if you go on vacation together, suggest camping instead of going to a luxury resort. In other words, don't just share the problem with your friends, but also make some suggestions that will allow the friendship to continue to thrive. The way of approaching it, which I would call not being honest, it's not outright lying, but if it's not comfortable to just say we're really having financial difficulties, the alternative is to say we're not going to be spending the way we have because we're saving for a vacation home, or we're saving for a children's college fund if Shelby has children, or something that no one's going to have any judgment about. And it's just going to kind of put all of that behind a safe screen. And then you're not getting into the particularities financially. But if you do decide to do that, Shelby, and say, you know, we're saving for retirement or whatever it is you choose to say that you feel good about, then I suggest you still go ahead and propose the lower cost fun things that all of you can do together. And the one thing that I would add is that it's going to be really important to be really clean in communicating it, because the risk is that either your friends feel sorry for you, and that's going to be uncomfortable for them to be around, or you say it in such a way that they might feel badly about their wealth. And if either of those things happen, that's not going to be good for the friendship. So it's super important to make the communication cleanly, whatever it is that you decide to say.
That's really a great point. And I like what you said about framing this in the way of, you know, sharing your goals, you know, I think you're all adults. It's no secret that everybody's got different goals, and it's not about you having more money than me. Well, it is a little bit, but really at the end of the day, it's about how you're able to spend your money. And is it really lining up with your values? Is one of your values to go into debt to go island hopping with your friends? No. One of your hopes and goals is to, you know, live within your means. And I think phrasing it as like, we have these different goals this year. This is, you know, this doesn't fall within our budget because we have these goals. I think I like that narrative a lot because it kind of shows that I don't think it would put your friends in a place of feeling bad for you. Instead, maybe really supportive of like, okay, well, that's great. You know, we didn't know that you wanted to buy a house. We didn't know that you wanted to, you know, do these things. And I think it puts it in context and doesn't make it uncomfortable, because you're right, Alexander. I think it can go the other way if you're not careful with your words.
Yeah. And there's a lot of hope for a wonderful ongoing friendship. Mm-hmm. If this communication is made with care, and then everyone can feel good continuing to spend time together.
All right, Shelby, thanks so much for your question. Great question.
Did you know that I'm a podcast host and also a mind reader? Because I know that you want to grow your portfolio, to deal with the rising costs of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage. You want to attack pretty much anything standing in the way of you and your financial freedom, right? Well, here's one solution. More knowledge. This podcast helps, I hope. And you can use Yahoo Finance, where you can get access to the news, data, and tools that you need to help reach your definition of financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. They're the number one finance destination, and I know because I worked there for many years, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, customizable charts, so much more. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or brablem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes you like so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, even the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today. The weather's getting warmer as I record. It's a nice 73 degrees on the East Coast. So finally, time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and, fingers crossed, hello to shorts and tees. And I need to update my wardrobe for the long haul. And, you know, I don't want to spend a fortune. So luckily, I found Quince. I'm honest. I've got a lineup of timeless pieces from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and tons more. Best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I have t-shirts from Quince, pajamas from Quince. My very chic and fashionable sister-in-law, Hannah, her whole closet is Quince. And people often stop us and ask, where did you get this? Don't tell me the price. And then when I do, they're shopping on Quince.com. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to Quince.com/SoMoney for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince.com/SoMoney to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/SoMoney.
Beth is asking about whether or not I ever discussed financial literacy on the show. And the answer is yes, Beth, I have discussed this from time to time. And I will do you a favor and in the show notes for this episode, link to some of those episodes where we talk specifically about kids and money. But I will tell you off the top of my head, the names of some of the guests, so you can quickly look for them on the site at somoneypodcast.com. You can look up people like Susan Beauchamp, Ron Lieber, Rachel Cruz. She's the daughter of Dave Ramsey. Bill Dwight, who is the founder and CEO of FamZoo.com. It's an online and mobile banking service to help parents with teaching kids good money habits. And there's just a lot of interesting entrepreneurs and authors that I've had on the show that specialize in kids and money. And of course, I've talked about it from time to time as far as like how we've just been talking about money in the house with our kids. It comes up naturally sometimes in conversation, but certainly if you go to the website and you search kids and money, or if you go to the episode show notes for this episode, I'll link out to some of these great episodes. But I think it's always important to be thinking about how to, you know, educate our kids about money. And Alexandra, I don't know if you have any experience with this, any best practices. You said you have kids.
Yeah, I have four children and I do have a few thoughts. I think the first thing, which is really the most important, it's not strictly financial literacy for kids, but it's best for you and your children's other parent to work through your own legacy around money, because in addition to education or lack of it, the thing which influences children and how they manage money the most is if you are a saver or you're a spender or whatever legacy you grew up with, it's very hard not to pass that down. It's kind of impossible unless you've transformed it yourself. So that's the first thing I want to say. The second thing is that talking about money can get kind of heavy depending on the age of the children. And so I'm a big fan of using games, especially when we're just talking about financial literacy. So one of my family's favorite games is Cash Flow. There's a version, Cash Flow for Kids, which is for younger children, and then Cash Flow Proper, which is for adults. My kids started playing that at 10 or 12 once they mastered cash flow for Kids. It was an easy transition. And having played that as a family multiple times just completely changed any financial conversation that I've had with my children ever since then. Mm-hmm. And the third thing I'll say, depending on the age of your children, because I think that this is a question, it feels like Beth probably has younger children, but I think it's a real question for people of any age. I myself am 51 and my daughter's 23. She's in graduate school. And one of the best things I've done for her financial literacy is tell her about this podcast, which I did a few weeks ago. And I think she's listened to about 50 of them already, because she listens while she's going about her business. And so for anyone with children, I don't know, 15 and older girls, I would recommend sending them the link to this podcast and see if it speaks to them.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Alexandra. That's so great. What? I don't know. I'm speechless. Thank you. That's really kind of you. And I'm 50 episodes. Wow. That's the thing about podcasting. You can multitask, you know? Can't read 50 books.
She's at graduate school, so she walks from her apartment to her classes, and she used to listen to Audible, but right now she is listening to So Money, and I'm really pleased because she's accruing a lot of debt, and I feel like it is absolutely my responsibility that she has some understanding of what to do when she graduates.
And what's her name?
Josephine. And actually, since we're talking about her, I want to say I've been in various media publications and interviewed in different contexts, but the thing that made her squeal the most was when I told her I was going to be co-hosting with you today. And she said, "You know Farnoosh?"
Oh my gosh. Josephine, hi. Hope you're listening. I bet you're listening. Just want to say thank you so much for your loyalty. It's so encouraging to me to know that someone like you is listening and taking notes and doing well. So if you've got questions, you know where to find me, but I'm always here to help. If you've got questions, send them in for our Friday episodes. Oh, wow. That's so cute. Okay. So now let's go on to Alice, considering a move to start over in a new city in the next 6 months. And at that point, we'll apply for jobs. So wondering if we have any advice on how to financially insulate herself for 6 months of unemployment, besides, of course, replenishing an emergency fund. Should she increase her 401k contributions right now? Yeah, I think that's a good idea. She has a six-figure job and she invests, and she has like what, investments totaling three times her salary. Wow, really good. So I love, first of all, that she's being so proactive, Alexandra, right? Like she's thinking ahead. She's realizing, okay, I'm going to have to give myself, buy some time, and money is options. So the more money you have in the bank, the more you don't have to feel like you're rushing to find that job. Just take the job that you get just to pay the bills. That's the beauty of having an emergency fund, is you can, you know, kind of do things at your own pace, hopefully. So yeah, I think if you know this is happening, Alice, increasing your investment contributions to your 401k, because that is going to be one of the things that will go away, might be a good idea, to take advantage of any kind of match that your employer offers, to of course take advantage of just the 401k itself, which allows you to deduct your contribution from your taxable income. Make sure that you are signing up for COBRA or some sort of health insurance, right, to cover you over those 6 months. And when you even start that new job, the new health insurance policy might not kick in right away. So making sure you do have health insurance would be the other thing. And it sounds like in all, you know, she's doing a really good job. She's got a solid financial foundation. Was there anything else that came to mind for you, Alexandra, as you were reading her circumstance?
Well, she sounds super proactive and prepared, and I thought it's probably likely that she'd get a job sooner than 6 months, but we don't know that for sure, I suppose. We don't know what industry she's in. The only thing I would add is that, Alice, when you move to the new city, I suggest, if you're in a position to do so, maybe live with roommates or maybe live in a less expensive part of the city and just set yourself up to have a low cost of living during the months before you have a job, and don't feel like you need to find the perfect apartment, because once you have a job and you know your new salary, then you can move and set yourself up in a way that is more enjoyable for you, and to just think of that first, however long until you get the job, is a time where you live a little more lean.
Yeah, a little scrappy, a little lean. I like that. I like that advice a lot. Yeah, because it's going to be a time for exploration, figuring out what part of town you want to live in. And so if you can find a sublet that's pretty below budget, that would be a great way to save. That's going to be your biggest expense probably, is housing, I would imagine. But if you can keep that low, another way to, as you say, financially insulate yourself. I like that. I like that expression. Okay. Lastly, we have Nicole, and she is wondering about buying a condo in a couple of years and saving for a down payment. So she says, with any extra income that I have, would it be better to put more money into paying off my current mortgage faster? Should I save for retirement? Should I save for a down payment? Or a combination of all three? In general, I'm not like the type of person who's like, yeah, pay off that mortgage super fast. Because if you have a mortgage and you got this in the last decade, I would imagine the interest rate is not super high. It's probably anywhere from 4.5% to 3%, 5% at the high end. So from a financial standpoint, from a returns standpoint, I'm not sure if that's the best place to put your money as far as getting a return on your money. But I get it. People like to pay off their mortgage because it's emotionally relieving. But it looks like you've also brought up retirement, which signals to me that maybe this is an area that needs more attention. And if it is, then I would prioritize retirement over paying down your current mortgage, and perhaps side parallel pathing saving more for retirement and putting some money down for this down payment. And, you know, this again is an event that you don't anticipate for happening for another couple of years. So you can be a little slower with the amount that you're putting towards the down payment. I would say prioritize retirement and then prioritize the down payment on the home, because that's not for another couple of years. I do think the market's going to go down in 2020 or in the next, you know, we've been talking about it a lot, right? Recession. When we do see the next dip, and maybe it'll last for a little longer than usual, that's actually a good time to get into the market, to get even more bought into the market if you feel like you have a little bit of a deficit in your 401k or other retirement savings vehicle. I'll ask you, Alexander, what are your thoughts on paying off a mortgage fast?
Yeah, in this situation, I'd opt for saving for the down payment for a few reasons. One is that if she has if Nicole has a sizable down payment, that's going to allow her to get better terms on the mortgage when she buys the condo. And the other thing is, and it's not really clear if she's going to be buying the condo in addition to the house or if she's going to be selling the house when she buys the condo. Because if she's going to be selling the house when she buys the condo, then that mortgage will be paid off then anyway. And right. So I would think having a bigger down payment and a better credit score from having the cash in the bank would be the best option.
True. Could be. I'm just a little bearish on buying right now. I don't know. I don't know where she lives, but you know, for us, we're selling our place and we're moving to the suburbs, and we are going to rent for the first year because we just don't know, you know, how we're going to feel about it. And frankly, I do think prices are going to continue to drop. And I don't think that prices in the suburbs, home prices appreciate very much over the long run. So as far as getting like an ROI on our money, if I have to put down a lot of money for a house, I'm not going to rush to do it. So I think it's again, you'll have to, Nicole, you would know better than us as far as, you know, how the market is where you are. But if you are going to sell your current home to buy this condo, I would assume that you're going to be taking some equity out, and that might be enough for the down payment sometimes, right? You could use some of that equity to help with the down payment. Just thinking out loud, you might not have to save on your own a ton. I don't know what your situation is with that current mortgage, how much maybe the home has or hasn't appreciated, or what equity you do have in it. But once you sell that, you know, remember that's going to be some extra money too that you can play with. That's always fun, right? For a little bit, you feel a little rich. You just cash out of a house, but if you plunk it down into another home, it is going to be tied up. So
I love that you say this, Farnoosh, because after our assorted circumstances, we've just been renting. And at first it was a little challenging because, of course, everyone says, oh, you buy a house, real estate is where it's at. But it just, with all the learning we've had with managing our own funds, it's just too much of a commitment.
Yeah.
And it feels so good to rent.
I look forward to being there. I really do. I look forward to being in that situation. I think it is, these days, it's a harder sell, right? Because we don't have as much of the tax break. We don't get to deduct all the property taxes. There's an interest rate cap, deduction cap on the mortgage interest. And so that plus all the maintenance and property taxes, and you know, your home's not appreciating that much. Although I know, I get it, it's not an investment, like you're not investing in stocks. But if you're not like 1,000% sure you want to settle down in this neighborhood, why rush into it? That's all I'm saying. You know, it's not something to rush into. There's lots of flexibility that comes with renting and mobility that comes with renting. And I think that what, depending on your life stage, that is worth more, right, than saying, oh, I'm a homeowner. It's nice to say it, but you know, it's a lot of work. Comes with a lot of strings attached.
Well, and I think being a renter after having been a homeowner, in our case for multiple homes, I can really feel the lightness that I might not feel if I'd never owned a home. And so it seemed like a faraway dream. It's a luxury to rent after being a homeowner.
Yes, yes. Well, Alexandra, so nice to spend some time with you. And thank you so much for all of your great feedback and thoughts for our listeners. Nicole, Alice, Beth, Shelby, some strong women listening to this show. I appreciate everybody who wrote in. And what are your Thanksgiving plans?
Well, I'm going to be cooking a turkey. I have four children, but two of them stay in college because of how those vacations work. So it'll just be four of us around the table having a simple time. Maybe we'll play cash flow.
Ah, or maybe you'll listen to this podcast. No, please don't. I would not wish that. I think you should spend all your time together. Thank you for coming on. And everybody listening, I will see you back here on Monday. And I hope your weekend is so money.
Host
hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or brablem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15.